for WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Governor Northam says he will continue to push for gun control in the face of opposition from rural parts of Virginia. A new partnership in Louisa County aims to tackle a shortage of child care and teachers. And Virginia lawmakers in Congress say despite a sweeping new law addressing the opioid crisis, that crisis continues. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, November 27th. Governor Ralph Northam says he will continue to push for gun control in the face of opposition from rural parts of Virginia. A growing number of counties have passed or are considering resolutions declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. But Northam told reporters this week, Democrats' victories in the November 5th elections show that voters want gun reform.
And nothing that we're proposing or doing will threaten the Second Amendment or those people's rights. So people need to understand that.
Gun rights advocates have packed local meetings across the state to support the Second Amendment sanctuaries. Tuesday night, board meetings in Greene and Shenandoah counties heard public comments on resolutions. Several people spoke in favor, but others expressed opposition. Augusta and Rockingham counties will consider resolutions at their board meetings in December. It's not clear whether the resolutions will carry any legal weight. Governor Northam sent a letter to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo Monday, reaffirming Virginia's commitment to welcoming refugees. Northam's letter said that Virginia will continue to welcome refugees, quote, fleeing war, persecution, or other dire circumstances. The governor wrote in response to Executive Order 13888, which states that the federal government should only settle refugees under the State Department's Reception and Placement Program, which requires the consent of both state and local governments. Northam told Pompeo that the state, quote, has the capacity to accept and help more refugees than we currently have. Arts and crafts chain A.C. Moore will close all of its 145 stores permanently, as Yasmin Juma from VPM News reports. Up to 40 of its locations could reopen as Michael's stores in 2020 as part of the company's expansion efforts, but customers are not enthused.
Virginia's home to 14 of the chain's locations. The Richmond region has five. Customers like Bill Good say it's their go-to store for anything from paint supplies to home decor and even birthday gifts.
I'm very crafty, so I'm always in here buying stuff.
AC Moore patrons say they're upset over the retailer's decision to shut down its operations. Linda Sharp even likened it to losing a close friend.
I'm just devastated over it.
Sharp and other shoppers echoed the same sentiment when comparing AC Moore to Michael's. They say it's more affordable, offers a wider inventory, and the service is just better. AC Moore says additional details on store closures will be posted on the company's website in the coming weeks. The craft retailer stopped accepting online orders Monday.
That's Yasmin Juma from VPM News reporting. A report released Tuesday from Virginia Commonwealth University says America's workforce is dying off faster than any other wealthy country in the world. And despite massive expenditures in healthcare, the overall life expectancy in the United States is down for the last three consecutive years. Charles Fishburne, also from VPM News, has that story.
Lead author of the report is Stephen Wolf, Director Emeritus of the Center on Society and Health at Virginia Commonwealth University.
It's supposed to be going down.
But it is not. And Americans in their prime, ages 25 to 64, are dying in increasingly higher numbers.
The fact that the numbers are climbing is something terribly wrong.
He says opioids are a major factor and cell phones are causing distracted driving.
It's also due to increasing deaths from alcoholism and suicides, what some people call deaths of despair, and from dozens of organ diseases, diabetes, hypertensive heart disease, and many other conditions.
He says, given the breadth and pervasiveness of the trend, it suggests the cause has to be systemic, that it will hurt American productivity, leave children without parents, and result in the next generation living shorter lives as well. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
A new partnership in Louisa County is helping to tackle a shortage of child care and teachers. Organizers hope it can be expanded to other parts of the state. Virginia Public Radio's Alex McCarthy reports.
In rural Virginia, it can be hard to find child care. And when you can find it, it's expensive.
We live one county over where there's literally no daycare at all.
That's Kenny Bowens, the Director of Career and Technical Education for Louisa County Public Schools. Bowens helps run the Little Lions Learning Lab, a collaboration with James Madison University to provide teachers with affordable childcare. The childcare program is staffed in part by high school students, who get hands-on experience and work toward a teacher certification. The program also serves as a recruiting tool, and it's already showing results. Math teacher Karen Redd took a job with the school system last summer, in part so she could get her son Kyle into childcare. Redd came from Albemarle County, where childcare comes with a hefty price tag.
I would say at least $1,000 a month is a lot for the teacher pay.
The Learning Lab is $400 a month. James Madison professor Reese Wilson comes to the Learning Lab once a week to provide guidance. Wilson said he thinks the program can be replicated in other areas.
Lots of schools need help, and lots of universities want to reach out to the community.
Wilson says all it takes is a university willing to make a commitment. In Louisa County, I'm Alex McCarthy.
As 2020 draws closer, the debate in Washington about the census is heating up. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has this report on questions about sexual orientation and gender identity.
At the tail end of the Obama administration, a handful of federal agencies asked the Census Bureau to add questions about sexual orientation and gender identity. The idea was that the numbers would help the Department of Justice fight hate crimes, or Housing and Human Services fight housing discrimination. James Parrish at Equality Virginia says data is the key to helping fight injustice.
The key to good policy is good data, and unfortunately for the LGBTQ community, data on gay and transgender people is very sparse.
Victoria Cobb at the Family Foundation says adding these two questions to the census would be a mistake because it would open the door to more and more questions in the future.
With an ever-expanding, limitless list of self-determined identities, how will the Census Bureau ever be able to keep up?
An earlier version of the bill attracted 102 co-sponsors back in 2016. The latest version of the LGBTQ Data Inclusion Act has 123 co-sponsors, including Bobby Scott and Donald McEachin. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, last year, a bipartisan group in Congress passed a sweeping law to address the opioid crisis. But that crisis continues, and some lawmakers in the Commonwealth, including in the WMRA region, want that to change. Virginia Public Radio's Matt Laszlo reports from Washington.
The bipartisan opioid law that President Trump signed last year aims to train medical professionals so they don't overprescribe opioids. It also seeks to help states like Virginia, Maryland, and even West Virginia work together so patients don't hop across state lines to get more pills. But tens of thousands of Americans continue to overdose annually. Still, many lawmakers are in a holding pattern. Here's Northern Virginia Democratic Congressman Don Beyer on why there's not a huge push to tackle opioids this year.
Part of it is that not that we did all that's possible to do, but we did an awful lot of what it occurred to us to do. The low-hanging fruit legislatively in terms of investments.
Still, Beyer's party now controls the House. And he says just driving around his Northern Virginia district, you see signs that the epidemic is still on the minds of many people in his community.
You see purple signs everywhere and purple ribbons, purple lights on the front porches. So a lot of people in many different ways in the community are trying to address the opioid crisis.
Republican Morgan Griffith's Southwestern district has been hit hard by the opioid crisis, yet he's also in a holding pattern.
Yeah, but we passed some really good legislation last year in a bipartisan fashion, so I'm not going to beat up on my Democrat friends over that. Do we need to take a look at it probably next year? Yes, because we passed it at the end of last year. We need to see what has helped, what hasn't helped, and then we need to move forward.
While Democrats run the House, Republicans control the Senate, and the issue seems to be getting even less attention in that chamber. But even if he's not in a rush to pass new legislation to address the epidemic this year, Griffith does want Congress to fund or incentivize more in-resident treatment centers. There remain only two in his district, a sprawling geography that can take you hours to traverse.
Residential treatment is so important for so many people. Everybody has a different formula for success in kicking the habit and beating the addiction. But I think most experts would agree that for a lot of people, residential treatment is necessary and helpful.
Freshman Republican Ben Klein argues the federal government is needed to provide more resources to spots like his district that includes much of the Shenandoah Valley as well as Roanoke and Lynchburg.
It's a concern for me and for my district, and we'll continue to try and keep the profile raised about the need to provide resources to the states and local governments to address it.
But Eastern Virginia Republican Congressman Rob Whitman says it's not all about federal money. He says a part of the law Congress passed last year will take years to be realized.
In many instances, we are lacking the proper number of behavioral and mental health professionals. So even if you have the money, if you don't have the number of professionals there, it's hard to do those things. So another element of this, as you know, that's part of the legislation, is to encourage schools to actively recruit students to go into these disciplines, to get more degree holders coming out of these programs and getting them into the communities.
And Whitman says no local or federal officials should start to get complacent as they wait for last year's law to fully take root.
The problems are still significant. If we look at the number of opioid deaths in Virginia and compare them to the high in 2016, we're on track to possibly exceed that high level in 2016. So there's still issues out there.
Reporting from the Capitol, I'm Matt Laszlo.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Wednesday.